Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today. Now, I wanted to just quickly jump on to give you a few little bits and pieces of information. You heard Kim Gould a couple of episodes ago talk about transits. Well, in early December, she's coming to the membership to teach transit to all my membership pro students, which is so exciting. Today, you're going to hear Kim and I talk about the asteroids and how the asteroids affect your design. Knowing where your asteroids lie can really help you in places where you are undefined, but I'll leave you to hear all of that in the podcast. I also just want to let you know that Kim is also going to come and teach asteroids with my pro members probably sometime, if not the end of this year, early next year, which is super, super exciting. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. If you want to join the membership, now's the time. We will have a link in the show notes if you want to. If you want to ask questions about it, just reach out and I will be more than happy to answer those for you. All right, everyone, I'm going to leave you to it so that you can get into today's episode with Kim Gould talking all about asteroids. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Well, I have got Kim Gould back again, which is so super exciting. You heard from her very recently on transits, and today we're going to talk about asteroids. I mean, right? Did you even know that there was asteroids that are having a big effect in your chart? For me, one of the big things that blew my mind is that I started to see all this incredible, big feminine energy in my chart that I hadn't noticed before. And I just really, like, I had such a, I don't know, an alignment and that knowing, like, yes, that energy. I've been looking for her. So today, Kim, welcome. How are you?
Thanks, Emma. I'm great. Excited to talk about the asteroid.
Yeah, beautiful. So again, everyone, I did the asteroids training with Kim a while back now, and it was beautiful. Do you have an asteroids for everyone who's going to get to the end of this podcast and say, yep, I want to learn more? Do you have an asteroids, yep, course that's up now?
I have. It's on the Learning Hub on loveyourdesign.com, and I'll give you a code so that people can get a discount from that.
Perfect. After the podcast. Perfect. So let's go into it. Let's talk, first and foremost, tell me a little bit, for those that are newbies out there, like, what are the asteroids? Like, why should I be curious about them and want to go and learn more about them?
Yeah, especially because there's like a million asteroids. I mean, I'm not joking. There's like a million asteroids. So like after the class, we're going to have a test and I want you to tell me what every single one of those. I mean, it's crazy the amount of information that's available if we start looking at them. What they are is they're bits of rock, basically. So a planet is round and it kind of orbits. It has this lovely, there's a word for it, but it's round, basically. So it has its own gravity and et cetera, et cetera. Asteroids are bizarre shapes and they get caught in the orbit of other planets. Most of the asteroids that we use are caught in the orbit of Jupiter, which is almost bordering on being a star, actually, rather than a planet. Jupiter's really interesting. But they sit crazy. They sit between Mars and Jupiter. So we've got all these things like Persephone, Psyche, Pandora, Ceres, Juno, Vesta. Yeah, they're all sitting there transiting between Mars and Jupiter in our solar system. And in standard human design, conventional human design, we don't pay any attention to them.
Yeah. So, well, tell me a little bit about, I know last time we talked about the transits and how the transiting planets can affect our design. So how can the asteroids affect our design?
Okay, so let's go back to kind of a little bit of ancient history. When the planets were discovered, they were named basically after the masculine archetypes. If you go and look at your chart and look for feminine archetypes, as you kind of mentioned before, you're looking at the moon and you're looking at Venus and then you're done. You're done then. You got nowhere to go then. What the naming protocol was when they first started naming, or they didn't start discovering these asteroids until I think 1800, the first one. And so they had a protocol of naming them after the female Olympians. So we've got the male Olympians are the planets and the female Olympians who were their sisters and had equal standing. They were the asteroids. So basically you've got all of this hidden kind of dormant energy that we can find when we start to add the asteroids into the chart. And it gives women so much more than what we get just from looking at the moon and Venus. So there's that side of things, but also look at this idea of you might have a gate, like a bridge gate, for example, and you might have Persephone there.
Yeah, or I've got Carly in the 35, which is my bridge gate.
Yeah, so look, it makes such a difference because instead of saying, oh, I can't actually, you know, that energy, I need someone else to bring that to me, what you have, it doesn't give definition, but what you have is this kind of subtle energy that bridges the gap between those two areas of definition, and it's Carly. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, one of the things that I find a lot of the not self stuff that I get so many people, I think the line five profile, you know, I always say it's you're the person of last resort. I get so many people who come to me and say, I love human design, but I just can't get it to work for me. It just, there's something not sitting right for me with human design, the way most people think about it or do it. And that when we start bringing the asteroids in, they're like, oh, there it is. Yeah. And they would be told, you know, within the conventional human design community, this is your not self.
Mm.
But it's all there. It's just, it's a dormant, and not just, you know, I mean, it's not just the feminine energies. We've got things like, you know, Heracles, for example, Hercules, Zeus, Orpheus, Apollo, Eros. So we've got all of this amazing Vulcan, all this amazing masculine energy as well in there that doesn't get expressed if we just look at the standard chart.
Yeah. So if we have, let's say with my Carly, if we have these asteroids that are sitting in important gates for us and helping our energy to flow, do they shift and move, or are they always there? Do we look at them like we would look at our natal chart?
They move into, like, they're the same as the normal planets in terms of transit. So they are moving. Mm-hmm. They shift and change the same way that the normal planets do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah.
So if I have Carly in the 35, that's something that isn't.
That's
energy.
Always there.
Beautiful.
It's always there for you. Okay. So it's exactly the same as the planetary imprint in your standard chart. It's
brilliant.
That's your seed. That's where you're working from. That's the potential for how that Carly would play out for you throughout your life.
Brilliant. So tell me, how do I, number one, identify where my asteroids are in my chart? Let's just start there.
Sorry,
I know, I just said that with a, I was going to give you a double whammy. And I thought maybe if I just give you, you know, coaching 101, one question at a time.
So I assume you'll put the link below, but it's Taraka.io. So this is one of my, because I used to do all this manually, and one of my students came to me in 2010, I think, and said, Kim, that you shouldn't have to be doing all this manually. It takes too long. And she was a software developer, and she built a site for me way back. And so that's basically, you can just click on any place in your chart and it will give you a list of, I've curated a list, maybe about 50, 60 asteroids, the most significant of them. And it will give you a list of which of those are sitting in that gate for you.
Yeah, brilliant. So when they're sitting in that gate, in Taraka, when we look at it, is that the energy that's there all the time? And
Yes. Is
there another chart that you can then look at that has the transit asteroids?
You know the answers to these.
Well, I'm just making sure everyone that's listening can have the clarity, you know?
So when you go to Taraka, there's a couple of different charts that you can pull up. You can pull up a Just Now chart, and that will give you the position of each of the asteroids right now.
Yeah.
So, for example, Ceres is transiting. I think it's still in gate 30. It's been in gate 30 for actually quite a long time now, but generally it's a 4-year orbit. So it would generally take about it's about the equivalent to Venus. So it would take about 3 or 4 days in a gate generally. I think it's a little bit longer. It's longer. Sorry, thinking out loud now, about 12 days in a gate. So it's sitting at the moment in gate 30, which means that right now for everyone on the planet, the quality of Ceres, which is about finding what really nourishes us, we're all getting clarity around that. Gate 30 is the gate of clarity. We're all looking at our lives and saying, how can I feel more nourished? What kind of clarity do I need on that? So it will show just now where each of the asteroids is sitting.
Beautiful.
Can I just say also there's transit charts. So you can create a transit chart and say, where were all of the asteroids on this particular date? So you can put in, you know, like the day I was married or whatever, like where were they all on that day? So you can find them that way.
So good. Oh, my goodness, I love that. I love putting the pieces together that way and being able to see how powerful these things are. So what do you think understanding your asteroids and where your asteroids are, what do you think that subtle layer, what does it bring to me as an individual that now has that extra depth of knowing? What do I get from it?
Look, I think there's a couple of layers to this. Firstly, the time that we're in now, we're really dismantling our current culture. We're really shifting from, you know, that 2027 thing, but it's kind of more than that. We're actually taking the individual cultures and societies that we had all around the world, and we're building a global culture at the moment. And that means that we're bringing the indigenous, we're regenerating our indigenous cultures, and we're breaking down the places where we're creating enmities with each other, but we're also really breaking down those old dominator hierarchical cultures as well. Mm. And the asteroids are very, very much about culture. So if we're looking at things like Pallas Athene, for example, at Zeus, at Apollo, you know, Apollo, which is conjunct my sun, he went to the Delphic oracles and basically he just kind of enslaved them. And he was like getting all of the, like, oh, look at me. I come to me to, you know, to get your future. But he was getting the oracles to do the work. He was just taking all the glory. So I think I still haven't figured out. I sometimes look for that in my life and I think, I can't see that. But anyway, maybe one day I'll figure that out. But so these are very, very much building blocks of culture.
And oh, yeah.
So right now, it's incredibly important, I think, and it's why the asteroids are becoming more and more popular in astrology, because people are starting to see, I am holding this shard of the old culture in my psyche, and this is the way in which I can return it to a more original state, into a more healthy state.
Yeah, I love what you just said, because I remember when I was doing this training, one of the things that I loved was that when we were looking at each of the asteroids, we were looking at their story. So we were looking at the story, the historical story of this god or whatever. Yeah. And then for me, little Miss Patterns over here, what I loved is that I could then see, like, where is that pattern? How does that pattern play out in my life? And I just think that that's another thing that I love about the asteroids, is it kind of gives you, like, I get that the I Ching kind of does that, but there is a more complete story. And maybe because we've grown up knowing more about these gods, you can really understand the embodiment, the energy, and you can see the patterns of how these things show up in your life. Just because I feel like there's a greater depth, like I kind of have a greater resonance with the gods, if you like, than even when we start to understand the I Ching and the gates. It's just quite not quite the same. I felt like there was so much more in those
asteroids. Yeah, I think too, because I'm starting to write the book on the gates, and I think
can you hurry up? Thank you.
I think when that gets out, like, that will help you to get the gates in a way that's more personally resonant. But I think also these stories are so, we don't realize how much these stories are embedded in our day-to-day life, and they're embedded in our religion, which, even if we're not religious, is such a building block of our day-to-day life as well. You know, the kinds of values that we take for granted in our Western culture really comes from Christianity. So all of this is there and we just can't see it. And a lot of the places where we struggle are places where we are holding those old stories that don't work for us as individuals anymore. But it's kind of hidden to us because it's like a fish in a swimming around in the water. We can't even see it. And you make a really, really good point, which is that, you know, you can go and study these things. You can study Persephone. You can study Vesta. You can study, you know, Pallas, whatever. What you can do with human design is put it into your chart. So I just said, you know, Apollo sits on my sun. So that is a really important energy for me. It's part of who I am. And so what does that actually mean for me as a person, and how does it play into my development as a person?
Yeah, and I think this is another, that thing that we hear all the time is, it's this permission slip, you know, it's that permission slip to be like, wow, yeah, that energy's in me all the time, and perhaps I've been pushing it down. I know for me, I've got a lot of, you know, I can't remember the other names now, they've just left me, but like Carly is in there with a team of very powerful, rebellious women, you know, feminine energies in my chart. And for so many years, I remember you actually, in one of the training courses that I was doing, I said something and you were like, oh, for God's sake, Emma, take up space, you know, like you're here to take up some space. And, you know, being able to understand my asteroids and seeing this big feminine power in me, like, oh my God, it's almost like my brain was like, there's the permission slip that I needed. And I could drop so much of that conditioning that I'd been trying to hide under a rock or not be so big and not be so feminine and not be so determined and all of those things, to see these things show up and have a resonance, because I kind of know about these feminine energies, to be able to go, yeah, right, that's in me. And, you know, part of me, my little heart just goes, okay, that's in me, I can do that.
Well, look at Europa, for example, which is also conjunct my sun. Europa is basically the empress in the tarot. And really, you know, I had her in my list, but I'd never done any work on her. And when I started to understand what she was, she has this stable, harmonious kingdom or queendom, really, where everything is just abundant and prosperous and beautiful. And I thought, I so love that energy. And to be able to, you know, again, we go back to the moon and Venus, and Venus is so often thought of in relationship to others, you know, even though that's not strictly speaking the energy of Venus, but it's like the wife, particularly the consort, the lover, that kind of thing. And the moon is the child or the mother. And so here we have this whole I want to say this word, I don't know how to pronounce it, anyway, this, I can't pronounce it. Whole range of other aspects of, you know, anything from Kali to Europa to Vesta, who is the part of us, shows us in our chart, the part of us where we are absolutely devoted to something above all else. Mm. So that's what our Vesta activation shows us. So this whole range of the feminine that is not, just not there in the standard chart.
Yeah, which is so, so beautiful. And again, it's that, you know, that ability to decondition, to let go of the things that are potentially hiding these energies, us, you know, like our brain has built a mask to hide a lot of this energy.
Absolutely.
And I think that being able to tap into it and put, like, I just love putting the puzzle pieces together, you know, like what the gates, the planets, the asteroids, and putting it all together. You know, one of the things you taught me very, very early on was, you know, why would I be designed this way? The question you're like always ask, why would this person be designed this way? Why are you designed this way? And like putting those puzzle pieces together is just so much fun. But it goes back to what we spoke to on the last podcast. It connects you to the feeling of who I am, as opposed to who I think I am.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really important, I was talking about connect, you know, how we're holding these parts of these archetypes in our lives through playing them out, through identifying with disempowered aspects of the feminine, outdated aspects of the feminine. And what we can do then is find where is the empowerment in that story. So if we look at, Pandora was one of the first ones that I worked with. And Pandora for me just kind of blew my mind a little bit when I started to read up more about it, because the whole thing about Pandora is that she was this curse upon men, you know, like basically Hesiod and Zeus sitting around saying, oh, well, you know what a pain in the ass women are. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's basically what Pandora was created to represent, what a pain in the ass women were to men. Mm-hmm. And then she was actually built upon an earlier goddess energy. And this is a lot of the recovery process that I do with the asteroids, is when we go back earlier, there's actually a more powerful version of it. If we take Pandora back another level, she means Pan, all, and I think Dora or something is gifted. So she's all gifted. And she was an earth goddess who showed us that the earth gives us these tremendous gifts, and that each one of us holds gifts within us. And they're not, you know, curiosity being a bad thing, which is often how Pandora is described in astrology. Oh my God, this is where you're too curious.
How is that even a thing? That's not a thing, people. No. You cannot be too curious.
I know. And it's like, no, that's not, I'm not prepared to sit and look at an archetype going into a chart saying, oh, I'm sorry, but this is where you're too curious. Mm-hmm. This is a place where we have an incredible connection with both our own gifts and the gifts that the world makes available to us. And we have been taught that it is wrong.
Wow. Isn't that so powerful? So we could literally go into our chart, into Taraka, look up, put our chart in there. You can even type in Pandora, right? So you just type in Pandora and it will bring up the gates. And I just think that's amazing that you can then go to that place. And if you people aren't out there doing that now or after this podcast, you should be, because I will be.
And look, in the course, I actually take you through the process of how to go to Taraka, how to look up the thing, you know, so because it can be a little bit overwhelming at first. But if you do the course, you can actually go step by step through the process, and there's worksheets in there to help you do reflections and that kind of stuff as well. And you also get access to the treasury, which is where I'm gradually putting all the well, just let me try not to interrupt myself. I just did it again. Can I just do it all the time? Can I just say split definition? Can I just say, when I look at the meaning of the asteroids, I do it within a human design context, which means I look at the discovery point and I look at where it is in human design, and it absolutely amazes me how the discovery point what gate it was in when it was discovered, wow. which is a technique that's used in astrology to help understand the chart, the asteroid. When I look at it in the human design chart, it blows my mind every single time with how precisely it gives me the focal point for the meaning of that asteroid. So
wow.
in the treasury, which is part of the course, you actually, all of the sheets are there to the information sheets about the asteroids as I'm working and compiling. So it's a work in progress. So you get
amazing
that as well.
Amazing. absolutely love it. And I think that the, like you say, there's this big part of the human design chart that even though we do talk about the, you know, there's some gates that are the one and the two is the masculine and the feminine, and there are areas where there's masculine and feminine. There is so much more of the patriarchy in there. So I do think that the asteroids really do bring that feminine power. And I love what you've done with taking it back, like using that example of Pandora and actually taking it back to the root story, the beginning, yeah. To be able to sort of re-empower that energy and really give us all permission to step into, you know, our feminine energy just as much as everything else.
Yeah. And in that whole range, it's like recovering. I think women for so long have been told who they are by men and looking through that lens. And so what we can do is we can actually start to see ourselves through our own eyes and to be able to shift into our own perspective and making our own sense of our own experiences. And, you know, there's a tremendous power in that, particularly at the moment, because what I'm seeing in the transits and what's showing up in the transits is this powerful shift back to women being in leadership roles.
Amazing. Far out. And you're so right. What did you just say? Like, it gives us permission to see ourselves as we are, or something like that, yeah. instead of the way that we've been told by men to see ourselves. That's
because
so
if you ever go on, I go on like Netflix and Stan or whatever, looking for a show and something to watch, and so often it's just all from a male perspective.
It's true.
I'm like, I'm looking for, you know, like once I exhaust, you know, what's Nicole Kidman? She's just made some really interesting stuff. And I mean, there's some women who are making some really interesting stuff at the moment and amazing, good on them. But so much of it, I can really feel the difference when I watch a show that's made by a woman about women. The quality of those characters is completely different to when I watch a show that has been written and made by, I mean, not across the board, obviously, but generally. It's like, oh, yeah, there's those women who were playing those roles, but they're not alive. They're not real. There's something not quite there for them. And sometimes I'm really craving to find something and I'm like, no, I've seen everything. Send more.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's actually one of the shows that I watched, it's a while back now, is it called Morning News or Good Morning with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. And even Big Little Lies, like I love the book, but that series, you know, like this is, I find those characters are so much closer to the truth, you know. And the more we can embrace it, you know, we are in this time where I don't know how many times I have this conversation about, you know, who do we look to? Who are our leaders? But we're in this time where we are the leaders. Like we have to really step into our feminine power and what it is to be women, and we have to learn how to communicate that, because it's not, doesn't come easy. We've been conditioned in one way, and being able to speak our truth is something that everyone invested in human design is here to do. And that part of the feminine, and you know, especially these asteroids, and really understanding, as you say, there's masculine asteroids in there as well, but I know for me it was the part that made me go, wow, look at all that power, that feminine power in there, and overlaying on the design on my design I already had, and being able to go, hey, look, I'm a kick-ass woman. I love it. It's cool. You know, I think that's powerful.
I think, you know, you touched on something that's really important to me, and that is that once that I started to work with the asteroids, the structure of the chart in that kind of rigid way that most people think about it, it just fell away. It completely fell away, because what I'll find is that, you know, like, you know, you with your karma and your Kali in the 35,
yeah.
which I thought you had Orcus there, but you don't.
You must have it.
I've got AUKUS somewhere. Is it in my 59? Oh, 42.
42, actually. Yeah, it's in the 42. No, it's not. I don't know where it is. Anyway, that was my memory from class years ago. So I let myself off the hook there. But, you know, having Karma and Carly in that bridge gate, like to actually feel the energy of Carly and to be able to say, that's what brings my, I've got your chart up here now. That's what brings my Jupiter in the 36 up to the throat. When my Jupiter expresses straight up there, for, you know, up that channel, it goes through this filter of Carly. And to actually be able to claim that energy really frees us up so much, I think.
Yeah.
And what it does is it shifts us away from this really rigid idea that the chart is just this one single chart with, you know, these gates and it's fixed and it's static and it never changes and I'm stuck with this and this is who I am. And, you know, so it starts to shift us out of that kind of thinking as well. And we start to see relationships in there that are just not apparent when we look at the standard chart. What the steps I take people through in the course is to look at, you know, what asteroids are sitting on. And I keep it at the sun and the earth, I think maybe the moon as well in the course, but of course you can go and look at, you know, what's on your Mercury, whatever. So what's sitting on those areas of definition? What have you got in your bridge gates if you're a split definition or, you know, triple split, whatever. And then what actually activates your undefined centers? So if you've got the 2034, for example, what's sitting in the 57? Because that anchors your manifesting generator power. So what kind of archetypal energy is anchoring into your body, into your spleen center? What's anchoring that 2034?
I don't know. What is it, Kim? You've got my chart in front of you. Tell me.
Let me just click on it. Okay. I'm just going to run through the list. Pelion, Sappho, Aphrodite, Apollo, and Babel.
Wow. I like the sound of some of those. Apollo, Aphrodite.
Yep.
I don't know the others, so I'm going to go look them up.
Well, Pelion is the land of the gods. Sappho is, I love working with groups of women, creatively, like actually doing creative work in groups of women.
Mm-hmm.
Aphrodite is just, you know, the absolute power of the feminine, more so than Venus in a sense. She's very much that feminine principle.
Yeah, love that. I'll take it. Thank you.
So, yeah, I think it's important to understand that it helps us to get out of the strict ways of seeing what our human design chart is and starting to see there's a more subtle way of working with the energies here.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, you know, for me, because I can't go past anything without mentioning the patterns, you know, it also helps you to understand those other patterns of your energy that are there that, as you said earlier on, it's not the not self, it's not something else. It really is a consistent energy in you, even though it's not as consistent as a defined center or a channel. There is still that consistency.
It is consistent. It's just more subtle.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons it's more subtle is because we're just not noticing it, and it will become less subtle as more and more of us actually start to consciously notice these energies.
Yeah.
You know, in Marilyn Monroe's chart, she's got a fantastic chart in terms of looking at the asteroids, because she's got her sun in gate 16. So it's up at the throat. She's got nothing in the 48. And that's surprising in a sense. But what it means is people with gate 48 are really important to her. If you haven't got any asteroids in that gate, it means that gate's always going to be really important for you in, you know, when you connect with other people. Just a quick side note, if you have two bridge gates and you've got a whole lot of asteroids in one, it's very unlikely that you're going to be looking for people to have that particular gate in your life, because you've got something that you're working with in that gate. If your second bridge gate, you have nothing in that gate, that's the one that you're going to be wanting to pull people in all the time.
That's so interesting, because I think my experience with my chart is I never, or not ever, very rarely attract people with a 35.
Yep.
If it's going to be one, it's going to be the 59.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I can't remember my asteroids, but I definitely have an experience of that. And having those big energies in the 35, that makes sense.
Yeah. It also plays out in terms of what you've got in the gate too, because your personal planets, so your sun, your earth, your moon, Mercury particularly, when you have one of those planets making like is a hanging gate reaching to the bridge gate, you're always, those personal planets are always looking more so for a connection than the outer planets, and you've got Jupiter in the 36th. So that's just that's kind of another thing. Let me go back to Marilyn. So on her sun, she's got Psyche, Ophelia, and Persephone.
Yeah, like right.
Like I kind of want to cry thinking about that. Psyche is, you know, one of the things I love about Psyche is that the sisters, Psyche's sisters came and whispered in her ear like, oh, this could be a monster. It could be a terrible monster. Oh, my God, what are you doing? You have to see. You have to see. So they really encouraged her to see what, you know, to put the lamp on and to see who is this monster that you are, you know, married to. And so that's a part of the story that really I find really interesting. For women to listen to that voice that says you have to be able to see, you've got to turn the light on, you can't just keep living in this kind of enduring this circumstance and not knowing what's really going on. And also Psyche says, what are the trials that you're prepared to undergo for love? And it's not just necessarily romantic love, but it is romantic love, but it's also all kinds of other loves.
Yeah, and
she
had like famous romantic love, but also that, you know, what she's very famous for is that lack of self-love, that loving relationship that she didn't have with herself. Far out. That blows my mind. I love this stuff.
And can I just say too, we look at what happened to her. She was offered up by her father because Aphrodite was really pissed off because people said Psyche was more beautiful than Aphrodite. And that was the trigger for the whole thing, that Aphrodite was really pissed off about that. There's a whole range of asteroids where the gods were challenged by how wonderful this particular human was, and so therefore they had to exact some kind of revenge. That's a whole story of our times as well. But Psyche shows where we have this tremendous psychic. That's where psychic achievement to other people.
I love that.
So it's where we're very. So for instance, I have Psyche in my 62. And that is a place where I can really notice the very subtle shifts that people are able to make moment by moment. That 62, that very time, like every moment is a change. The butterfly effect gate, I call it. Every moment is a shift. And so that's how I use my psyche energy to really tune into those possible changes, that tiny little changes in each moment. So
yeah, I love that. And that's so a representation of the blogs that you write and the videos that you do, like you just the subtleties. And then it's just hello pattern dropped in.
Yeah.
The way that you love all the layers, the subtle layers, like it totally goes hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure. So think about Marilyn as Psyche, as more beautiful than Aphrodite, you know, that, and then having to go through all of these marriages and all the trials that she went through. And she has Persephone there as well. And Persephone is our experience of the dark night of the soul, these initiations, which are almost like shocking events that break us out of our comfort zone.
Oh my God.
And take us into this dark night of the soul. And the thing about Persephone was, you know, she was abducted and taken to the underworld. But then, in fact, she became queen of the underworld. She went, you know what? I could go back up there with mum and pick flowers with the dyads or whatever. But I don't mind it down here.
I love it. Like, just takes over. Screw it. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to rule.
I'm going to rule this place. So there's something really kick-ass to Persephone that I absolutely love. And I also, one of the things that I love about Persephone, and I think this speaks hugely on a whole other topic that I won't go too much into. But if we look at the qualities that are ascribed to Pluto, so transformation, death, rebirth, etc., they really don't have much at all to do with Pluto. Pluto was really a gateway to be able to give us the feminine, which is Ceres and Psyche, Ceres and Persephone. Ceres was the mother, Persephone the daughter. Between the two of them, they actually taught the Eleusinian Mysteries, which is all about death and rebirth. So Pluto is really just a gateway to the feminine.
Wow, far out. That's amazing. There is so much depth. Oh, my God. I could sit here and go, right, let's get the list and let's go through each one of them. So maybe we should do that another time.
Can I just, I want to just say this about Marilyn. So on her son, she's got Psyche, Ophelia, and Persephone. Ophelia is one of my favorites. We won't go into that. But they, if we look at the design and personality side, I haven't made a note of which is which, but
they've got, they're in the design side on one, and then on the other,
personality, let's just say, she has Psyche and Persephone in gate 52, which makes a channel with her earth. So if we look at the two layers design, so you've got two layers of every asteroid. We've got one layer sitting on her sun and the other one making a channel with her earth. So those wow. two asteroids are just so incredibly significant for her in her life. And they actually give her a connection. They connect her earth activation in the nine down to the root center and give her a defined root center. So that also the way in which she is grounded, the way in which she grounds and embodies her purpose as well. So really profound.
And isn't that, again, like to have such powerful feminine energies, and she was a powerful feminine energy.
She was. She's not recognized for what a incredible feminist icon she was. I mean, she really ran her own show at a time when most of those women were captured by the studio machine.
Yeah, I love that, because again, it's for me, I love to see the external clues, the results, the how this plays out on this, in this dimension, because for me it's like that's all my brain needs. It'll, you know, that's how we change our brains, that's how we change our habits, because we can see that the truth of these things. We don't need to convince ourselves of anything, we can see it. And Marilyn is such a beautiful example. I love her too. She's pretty awesome. Well, she was pretty awesome. All right, beautiful human. We are going to have to round this up, as much as I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much. Now, we are going to put all of Kim's details in the show notes. We're also going to put a link to her asteroids course and the code. There was a code.
Yep, there's a code.
Emma 2020, is that the same?
Yep, Emma 2020.
Perfect for you to sign up to the asteroids training if you want to do that. Is there anything else you would like to share with my audience or our audience before I finish?
No, I think that's good.
Beautiful. Well, thank you again.
One more thing. It's love not it. This is important. I think it's not just asteroids. There's a whole lot of different kinds of minor planets. So asteroids is just the start.
Oh my God. There's so much more. Far out. It's so exciting. And you know, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're like me, you're like Kim, you love a rabbit hole. So this is another rabbit hole to go down. Thanks again, everyone, for joining. Thank you so much for being with me, Kim. And I'll hear you all in the next podcast. Thank you. Bye. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.